Sunday night when Doug was ministering, he made a comment. A comment that struck the inside of my heart. And that comment was, and I mentioned it again last night, that when Noah was placed in the ark by God, God shut the door. It was a place of safety prepared by the instructions of God. But the earth had become so vile and so full of violence, and you can check out Genesis, and you can read the entire story. But he brought out something that is kind of hidden in the Word. As you know, sometimes you can read the Word, but you can read between the lines. Mm-hmm. And his comment was, the Scripture says that the depths were opened up. The fountains of the deep were opened. The oceans, literally, may have actually quadrupled in size at the beginning of it. And then the heavenly canopy, because don't forget, for 100 years, Noah walked around saying it's going to rain, and it had never rained. The earth was in like an aquarium. It was designed by God that way for his own purpose. But his creation made bad choices. Very bad. And some of the creation became extremely violent and vulgar in the eyes of the Lord. But when the rain began, the heavens were open, and it increased to such a degree. And he asked the question, if you take tap water coming out of your reservoirs, and you mix it with a glass of ocean water, what do you get?
Salt water.
Well, I had not conceived that truth. And it kind of bugged me a little bit. And on our way home, I said, thank you for that message tonight, but you irritated me a little bit. But I'm going to survive. So if I'm irritating you a little bit, my prayer is that you'll survive. Amen? So I woke up on Monday morning in the middle of a dream, and the dream was still active when I awoke. I was in it, and my eyes are open, and I'm still in the dream. And I'm not complaining now. I'm just telling you the status of the dream. I did write it all down, but I remember it because when God gives that kind of dream, it's almost like a dream vision. Mm-hmm. And it's extremely alive. Mm-hmm. How many know you can have a dream that's kind of fuzzy and so-so? But then you can have one of those clear ones that you actually wake up and you say, I'm not in the dream, I'm in my bed or wherever you are. Can you verify?
Mm-hmm, yes.
All right. Well, I'm in a church setting. I can tell that in the front of the church, it's quite large, much larger than this. And I'm standing approximately here. And I'm very aware that there are two oblong tables, one like the one you see there, and on the other side is another one, and they're very much busy. Very occupied. There's a lot of people. There are, this particular one on the right, or my right, is loaded with people, and there's no way I can even approach it. There's just too many people. That's just, you know, looks like an anthill. And they're all busy, and I have no clue what they're up to. But the one on the left, or my left, has a little bit of space, so I'm starting to go forward. And I don't recognize any faces. I have no clue who's where, what, where I am. None of that is important. What is important is I approach this particular oblong table, and I get to about here. And I'm standing here, and I'm aware now that they are ministering with salt. And I'm shocked. So, today we went out and we bought some containers. And we bought sea salt. Because salt has an incredible value. And I'm going to give you some of the scriptures that may help you to understand what we're about to do. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always with grace, seasoned with salt, which is a preservative, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Matthew 5:13-16. Ye are the salt of the earth, etc. Numbers 18:19. And this one's a little bit more to the point. All the heavens offering the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever, a covenant of salt forever before the Lord, unto thee and unto thy seed for thee. So it's a covenant. It's an agreement of salt. It's not part-time. It's forever before the Lord. And it's not just for you, but it's also for your seed. How many of you have some seed? Thank you. Got the point? So what you're about to do tonight, there's going to be fruit from that, and it will touch not just you, but those that are yours. Amen. Mark 9:49, for every one of you shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Are we not to be sacrificial offerings before the Lord? Yes. Get a hold of this. Say, everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. And I'm getting prepared now, because it's not just for me. It's also for my seed. Amen? Now, I owe this to Gail, because I had her do some homework. 2 Kings 2:20-22. And he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. So there's an awareness that it needs to be in a container, and we did that. 2 Kings 2:21. And he went forth unto the springs of water and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from the hence any more death or barrenness. Okay. Now we're going into another level. Correct? Amen. Is he talking only about children? Or is he talking about fruits of your labor? You got it? Ezekiel 43:24. Ezekiel 43:24. And thou shalt offer them before the Lord. The priest shall cast salt upon them, and they shall offer them up for a burnt offering before the Lord. Are you a king and a priest?
Yes.
Say, I qualify.
I qualify.
First Peter declares that I'm a priest and a king. So I have value before the Lord.
Before the Lord.
Even if my brain has a problem. Got it? Why am I saying that if my brain has a problem? How many of you have come from a religious background that only those that are at the head of the altar area have a right to do? And you, well, I don't like to call you peons, but thank you. So I don't want to go there because I don't want to judge anybody. That's for then. That was for then for me. And it's time to come out of the old and to step into the new. So what I saw when the salt was placed with a teaspoon in my hands, because I remember in the dream I extended my hands. Why my hands? Because it's the work of my hands. Mm-hmm. That are supposed to be of the Lord. But if they're of me and my beastly nature, what's going to happen? I'm going to have what?
Destruction.
Probably not very good results.
No.
Okay? But if I'm anointed by the priest, which is the high priest of Christ, okay? That salt laid in my hands in my dream, and as I looked at it, there was an awareness that my feet also needed to be touched. So I bent down and I began to put some of the salt on my feet. Then I said, Lord, there were no emotions. I can't say that there was emotions. The only problem is that I have an awareness that there might be some emotions from some of you tonight. So I did call. And I asked for a supply of Kleenex. That should take some of the pressure off. The other thing that I shared with Ron this afternoon was that I needed a helper. How many know I can use my friend as an accomplice? Mm-hmm. Okay. Ron is an ordained minister of the Lord. He was ordained here several years ago. And he is the official helper for the day. That doesn't make him any more special than you. He just happens to be a chosen vessel with a little more responsibility. Now, I'm not saying that you will have this nudge, but I did. In my dream, there was an awareness of to touch my lower section. Because that's where the flesh sometimes pushes in the wrong direction. Now, if you need to say amen, fine. If you don't, it's still okay. But that's still the facts. The facts of life is that the pressure from flesh can cause problems in your life.
Amen.
And you need to be honest before the Lord. I'm not saying you have to do this publicly. I am saying, however, that if there is a press that comes into your heart and your mind starts arguing, don't listen to your mind or your brain. Mm-hmm. Just do it. Put your hand wherever he tells you to put your hand. If there's darkness anywhere that has irritated your body, what am I saying? It could be a backache. It could be a headache. Because I've learned that this brain here can get me into trouble. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. The front area is your personality, etc. The back area of your head is your memory banks. I don't know any human being who doesn't have a few memories that are ugly. So, you may, I'm not saying you will, but you may have a press to put a little bit of salt there. Salt will do what?
Cleanse
and purify and heal the land and take out the infirmities that you can't do. How many have ever heard of Epsom salt? Soak your toes in it. What happens? Everything softens up. Might soften up your brain a little. Wouldn't be a bad thing, you know. Maybe God could pour something new in there.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? So I'm not sure how he's going to manifest all these things. All I know is my buddy is going to be the first one to receive as well as myself. And then we're going to continue this music in the background and let the Holy Spirit have his way. How many have a mixed emotion about this? Mixed emotion. Fine, qualified. If you have a mixed emotion, this is what I would say. Wait until there is a press in your heart. Not in your brain now, in your heart. Because there's going to be, whoops, maybe I've got something here that I can gain, or something inside of me can be set free. When the salt water was on the earth, it was on the earth for 3 months, covering every mountain. I checked it this afternoon in Genesis. You can check it out for yourself. That's 150 days that salt water sat, literally, over the highest mountaintops. Minimum of 20 feet over the highest mountaintop.
45 feet.
45? It's set in line 25.
15 cubits. A cubit is a foot and a half.
Well, I told you my helper's here. Okay? Even if he's totally French, I love him anyway.
Doesn't make him a bad person.
No, you sure? Thank you, Donald. All these, I tease in between, but it is a serious subject, and it is something that I believe is going to have an impact on this feast for you. Twice this afternoon, I had a reminder. Just before the Feast of Tabernacles in 2002, somebody had come into my office at Grace Church of Christ and brought in a box of salt. It was sitting in my desk area. It never got used. And as I was purchasing the salt today, I had a moment of it because it was a big box just like the one that Evelyn looked at. And we went to Walmart and there was kosher salt, but it was fine and we didn't want fine. We wanted heavy salt. And that is kosher salt. It is sea salt. Okay? And we're going to bless it before we do anything else, and we're going to ask you to help us on that. So, Ron, if you will come up. I want you to lift your hands towards this because it's not just from us, it's for all of us. I'm going to take my finger and put it in there and repeat after me. Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
we command this salt,
we command this salt
to be holy.
To be holy.
Your word will not return void.
Your word will not return void.
This is a cleansing agent. That will bring your fire,
that will bring your fire,
and release grace,
and release grace,
healing,
and a purifying factor,
everywhere it touches,
everywhere it touches.
So give me the grace,
to receive this tonight,
and by faith to receive its fruit,
and by faith to receive its fruit.
In Jesus' precious name we pray.
In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.